I'm going to talk about what's coming out of your mouth. Oh, it's not up there. Never mind. Well, now they're looking backwards. Oh, thank you for the master controller back there. I didn't know that. So sorry. I repent. Oh, Daniel's the master controller back there. Oh, Ryan's the... Okay. I stand corrected many times. Okay. All right. I have everything I need right here. Yes, we do. We need each other. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, I want to speak tonight about what's coming out of your mouth. And I know this is something that we've heard before, but I think it's very pertinent for the hour. How many are feeling, how many have been feeling sort of weird, if you want to admit it? Just spiritually speaking, feeling a little bit weighty, just kind of some heaviness, and maybe just feeling like, what in the world? And the Holy Spirit has really been, you know, talking to me about the importance, and I realized some of the things that have been coming out of my mouth unbeknownst to me. You know how you say some things and you don't even realize you're saying some things? You know, you get into a habit of doing some things, and then unless you maintain those habits, here comes the rain. And unless you maintain those habits, some other habits are going to form, right? So we, for instance, we went on vacation last week, and we had to climb, go down and up, like multiple stairs to get to the beach. We had to work for it. So we had bikes in our house that we rented, and a golf cart, thank you, Jesus, but we couldn't fit all those people on the golf cart. You should have seen us. We had people standing on the back of the golf cart, people hanging out on the golf cart, all of our junk. And some of us had to ride bikes. And so we get down there, and we have to climb down probably 4 good levels of steps to get to the beach area. And we're like, what do we do with these bikes? We've got these bikes now. So we thought, well, we'll carry them down. So we're like, we're going to carry bikes. So my son, our son, gets a bike on both sides, left and right. Yep, some of y'all see my pictures. And he just picks them up and starts going down the stairs. I'm like, Hayden, you're going to fall with those bikes. But you took one down too, right? You took 2 down. My husband took 2 down too. Woohoo! So that's where he got his training from his dad. Anyway, I had to give credit where credit is due. Anyways, No. So my point is he couldn't have carried those bikes down those stairs had he not been doing something to maintain some ability to stay in that habit of lifting some things, right? Another little cute example is I was in the car singing with Braden the other day. He loves to sing. And there was some song we were singing, and I held out the note. And he goes, he couldn't hold the note. He said, I don't know how you guys do that. How do you hold out those notes so long? And it wasn't really very long, but he was going on and on about how you hold on to a note. And I said, well, it's a practice. It's, you know, you have a muscle in your, you know, and you have to practice. Your diaphragm needs to be strengthened. And we've been singing for our whole lives. So it's automatic. So automatically I hold notes and I don't even think about it. Hayden and my husband lifts the bikes and they don't think about it because there's some things they've been doing to maintain the ability to just do those things without thinking about it. So my point here is what's coming out of your mouth, there has to be some habits formed to maintain the right thing coming out of your mouth. And I think there's a lot of folks, me included, that without thinking, we're letting some things come out of our mouth. We're in a habit of saying some things without realizing it. And so we're just kind of letting some things go and flowing in a place where we don't need to go because we're just in a habit. We don't realize what doors we're opening with these words that we're allowing to come out of this place here. And so I want to just lead you in some confessions, and I want you to listen. You can learn a lot by listening to yourself. Have you listened to yourself talk about anything lately? Sometimes we just talk and we don't think about what we're talking about, right? But if you just sit down and listen to what you're saying, you can kind of locate where you're at. And so I want you just, if you would please, just close your eyes and just, these are just declarations. They're simple. You know them. And I just want you to listen to yourself say these things. They're really simple. So close your eyes. You can listen to the rain. It's kind of a nice background. So I am a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I cast all my cares on Jesus, for He cares for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the mind of Christ. No weapon formed against me will prosper. You might have to raise your voice to hear yourself over the rain, because I want you to hear yourself. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God is my source. He provides all my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. By the stripes and blood of Jesus, I'm completely healed. Okay, you can stop there. So in order to have God's will in your life, you have to get His word in your mouth. And so these are things we know, but we've kind of skipped over some things because I think we think, well, we're just in grace, and so it's okay. We'll just skip over it because we're operating out of grace. But there's some things that we need to operate in order to see the power of God in operation in our lives. And there, you know, we can be Christians that are not accessing what's available to us, and we can get to heaven and we can have wonderful time when we get to heaven. But we can be Christians here on earth and turn off our phones while we're in church, and I'm just teasing you, Larry, and access what's available to us by operating within some things through our mouths. Our mouths are so, so, so important. We've talked about this before, but there are three areas we will deal with until Jesus comes back. It's our mouth, our mind, and our attitudes. And I'm not going to talk about anything else but our mouth tonight because I think there's too much to cover. But our words are containers of power. They can be containers of power of good, and they can be containers of power of evil. So you decide what you're going to operate in and what you're going to open the door to into your life by what's coming out of your mouth. You can say things like I had an opportunity, again, to say, man, I thought I was healed with the breathing thing again. I said, no, I stopped myself. I said, no, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I've had many opportunities to digress and go backwards in my healing, but every time it presents itself, I outside, out loud, not just in my head, I don't just think, I'm healed. No, I say it out loud. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm not receiving this back in Jesus' name. Amen? You have to say it with your mouth. So Ephesians 4:29 says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth. There is worthless talk that comes out of our mouth. Stuff that does not need to be coming out. It's entertaining the wrong spirits. It's opening doors to the wrong demonic things in our lives, and we can overcome this. I'm not going to go there too much because you all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. But only such speech as is good, and this part, beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Do you know that your words can either benefit somebody's spiritual progress or it can cause somebody to go backwards? It's important that we're speaking words of life. We're ministering grace to the hearers because we can minister something other than grace to somebody's ears. Amen? Amen? Okay. As is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God through our words. We can. Or we can come in alignment with what He's already presented for us and speak the word of God and allow the creative power that's just resonating on the inside of us to come out and complete and fulfill what God has promised for us. Amen? It's up to us. It's up to us. Amen? I love this little video that Braden watched today in school. It was about self-development, and it was talking about, you know, it's kind of encouraging learning and that kind of thing, but it says, you're the guy who'll decide where you'll go. You're the guy who'll decide what kind of school year you're going to have. It's up to you to make this a good, you know, happy occasion. It's, you know, don't come into it like this is drudgery. This is something good and positive for your life. And I thought, man, that's good for kids to hear. They need to hear this, right? So, and an interesting little side note, this has nothing to do with this, but if you've gone through, how many have gone through the training for the reading for the kids yet? If anybody has, Sandra was telling me this interesting note, that if the kids do not learn how to read, you learn to read by the time you're in third grade, and then you read to learn after third grade. So the prisons decide how many prisons they're going to have based on how many children have learned to read by the time they're in third grade. Because if you don't know how to, you don't know how to read by the time you're in third grade, then you will not be able to learn. And usually those who don't learn from third grade up usually are troublemakers, and they end up, isn't that amazing? Amazing. So it's important that our words are encouraging our children. You know, I love to do confessions with Braden in the mornings, you know, and we do a lot of what I just said. Did you hear yourself when you were saying those confessions? It was like you were kind of being lifted up. You're starting to hear words of life. It's like, yes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The greater one's on the inside of me. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. He provides all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You know, I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and going out. The favor of God is all over me. All these things that we can learn and get into our spirit. And then when those temptations that come at us, like self-doubt and fear and anxiety and what's going on in the world, and they present themselves to us, we can say, no, my mind is renewed, and I know what I believe. I know who I am in Christ. You know, my kids will say something to me, write something to me, Mom, I feel like blah, 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 and it's some kind of negative thing, and I'll say, what does the Word say about you? What does God say about you? Is that what God says about you? That's not what God says about you. That's not who you are in Christ. And so we have to be reminding ourselves, I'm talking fast so I can get this through this. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, but we have to renew our mind to know who we are in Christ. Amen? I know this is just simple, but we need to remind. How many need to be reminded of some things? Man, I do. I got up this morning and I thought, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for provision in my life today. And just start, you know, declaring some things over my life so the enemy doesn't have any place to come in and start telling me some other things, right? I hit the floor running, so he can't come hitting the floor and telling me something else. So it's important what you're saying. You may not be saying anything negative, but you may not be saying anything positive either. You got to say something. You will lose by default if you're not saying something. And this, I know this is, I'm preaching to the choir here, but this is something that I think we kind of get in the back seat with this a little bit. We kind of relax on this because we know it. We know this. How many know this? We get relaxed about our confession of faith, right? But what it does is it builds us up so we don't feel the weight of the world. Like I was talking about in the beginning, we start feeling weighty. We start feeling like, you know, what is wrong? Your spirit man starts to feel heavy. There's some things going on. There's so much demonic activity going on in this world today. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of the world. Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. We're the light. We're the salt. But we need to be light. And we need to be salty. We need to be doing something. And if we're not feeding our spirits, then our light gets dimmer. And we're not very salty. Right? So we got to be feeding our spirit so that it's coming up out of us. It's just not just kind of laying dormant on the inside. Okay, so Psalm 103:20. Angels listen, for they hearken to the voice of the Lord. This says, bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Angels watch and listen for the voice of the word of God. So when we speak and declare, and I've said this before, I love doing our confession of faith over our giving. And some people might get tired of it, but I think it's important that we're saying something over our seed and we're saying something over our harvest. And I, every Sunday morning, will say, angels, I send you forth in the name of Jesus. Go out and bring in the increase in this house. Every household here is increasing in Jesus' name. Because we are declaring the word of God over our giving, and the angels go forth and bring in the increase. Now, they're not going to not do it just because I'm not doing that, or I might not be saying that one time. But I believe that it's a part of my active duty as a leader to be speaking over the giving. Amen? And it should be in your house too. So out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, Matthew 12, 34 and 35. You offspring of vipers, that's pretty strong. How can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the fullness or the overflow of their superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. Now, I'm not calling anybody evil. I'm not saying anybody here is evil. But what I am saying is that we're living in a fallen world, and we experience the fallenness of this world. And if we're not filling up our spirit with some good things, then something else is going to fill us up, right? Because we're in this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And so we got to be feeding on something else. We're finding out that you can't eat like you do on vacation. Last week, we were miserable. You just can't eat like that all the time, right? You got to change your diet. And even as you get a little older, we've talked about this before, you got to change your diet a little bit. There's got to be some changes, because the diet that's required for you to be able to function and live a long life is not the diet that you have when you were 18 years old. The diet that's required for you, spiritually speaking, right now, these are not babies. These are not spiritual babies in this place. You all are mature Christians. You know the word of God. And when you know what you know, much is required of you. You're accountable for what you know. So I'm sorry I'm letting you know this, but but you're going to have to eat differently, feed spiritually differently. You can't feed spiritually on junk movies and on junk music and on junk friendships and on junk social activities and on junk news media and junk whatever it is you're hearing. All those things are feeding your spirit. You may not think it is, but it is. It's feeding your spirit, and you're drinking that in. And what's going to come out? What's going to come out of your belly, the word says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This is my cup. If I put something else in it, if I put dirt, if I allow communication that's not godly and it drops into my cup, if there's some mud and some other things, some poison, whatever else, and I start drinking of it, out of my belly is not going to flow rivers of living water. It's going to be rivers of tainted, contaminated, toxic, possibly offended, maybe a critical spirit. All those things can come in without us understanding, because we've been feeding on some. That's why Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night, and he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of the living water. In his season, his fruit will develop and produce. It's my season. Is it your season? Amen. It's our season. We're in the last hour. Let's be feeding on the word of God. Let's be feeding our spirits on the life-giving word of God. Let's not sit around and complain and talk about problems. Because when we do that, all that comes out of us is junk. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of junk. We've had a lot of junk in this world, especially in the last 2 years. We've been inundated with it. It's time for no more junk. It's our responsibility to bring those rivers of living water into this world. If we're not living a living example, if our witness is downcast and heavy, now I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to bring any condemnation if you're going through something. I understand we go through things. You know, we went through a loss, and there's a process that you have to go through when you go through some things. We get that. But in the midst of going through some things, there's an answer. And that's why we're here together. We're here to lift each other up, to lift each other's arms. We're here to direct each other to the word of God. Let's feed our spirits on this. Let's worship God in the midst of this problem. Let's worship God in the midst of this storm. Amen? Because like I talked about Sunday, there might be a storm on the outside, but there doesn't have to be a storm on the inside. Because the peace that passes all understanding, the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of me. And the Prince of Peace is going to have rule and reign in my life no matter what I'm going through. You know, when we were at his mom's viewing, we just started singing this song that he wrote, Honor. We've sang it here before. And I told him, I said, it was like I shifted gears. As soon as I started worshiping, it was like I could feel this power coming out of me. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you there's power in worship. And because we are worshipers, this is what we do. This is our lifestyle. We're standing in front of her casket and we're singing this song. You know, we give honor, give glory. You know, and that power was coming out. And you could feel it in the room. There was such a strong anointing there. That's what happens when you've been doing something on purpose and you've been doing a habit on purpose. And then when you're standing in the midst of a storm, all of a sudden you open your mouth and declare God's goodness. You open your mouth and declare God's faithfulness. You open your mouth and talk about how good he is. You can be standing right next to death and in the midst of that have life-giving rivers flowing out of you. And that death has no sting. It has no place in your life. Because life, the life-giving power of the Holy Ghost, is dominant. What's dominating in the room? It's huge. It's bigger than anything else. Amen? Amen. Okay, so the man who controls his tongue is a perfect, fully developed man. Are you perfect? Are you fully developed? No one here is, right? We're still developing. That's James 3:2. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. All of us do. And if anyone does not offend in speech and never says anything wrong, he's fully developed character and perfect man, able to control his whole body and curb his entire nature. Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. But like I said, if we've not developed some habits with our tongue, then our tongue is going to be the rudder on the ship. It's going to be directing us places we don't need to go. That's why it's important that the rudder on the ship is going the places where it needs to go. It's being led by the Spirit of God. It's like the bridle on the horse. You pull that thing back and it'll stop. You jerk it left or right, it's going to go left or right. Don't correct me because I don't know that much about it. I'm just going with it. But you know, you get what I'm saying. And so the Holy Spirit will remind you of something and, you know, it's a little jerk. Go this way. You know, I was talking to somebody, and I was going to say something, and the Holy Spirit pulled the bridle back and said, don't say that. In the middle of me talking, you don't need to say that. I was like, okay, praise God, my husband said. Praise the Lord. I do hear, and I do stop when I need to stop. Yeah. Okay, so it's important that we're being led by the Holy Ghost. And then when we're doing that, we're being led by the Spirit. The Spirit man is leading instead of the flesh, right? The flesh wants to whine and complain and crab and say everything it feels, it thinks. Have you ever met somebody just, you know, you can tell they're just talking off the top of their head and everything's just coming out. And you want to say, just don't say anything else anymore. Because it's pretty obvious where this is coming from. You know what I'm saying? And you want to help them, but it's like there's just this overflow, this river that's coming out from a place that doesn't need to come out. And that's why it's so important that we are allowing the habits of worship, the habits of being in the Word of God, to flow, those rivers to flow that bring living waters. So they're not bringing tainted waters. Amen? It's not what comes into the man, but what comes out of the mouth that defies you. Matthew 15:11, it says, it is not what goes into the mouth of a man that makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of his mouth that makes a man unclean and defiles him. Wow. She knew what I was going to read. So, I mean, that's self-explanatory. I don't need to really even expound on that, but you get what I'm saying. It's so, so, so important what we're saying, what's coming out of our mouths. Amen? So, Romans 10:9. How many of us know this verse? We know it, 10:9-10. 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou wilt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it say if thou wilt think? If you'll just think really hard about the Lord Jesus Christ and just believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It doesn't say just think really hard. Doesn't say just read about it. It says confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. How did God create the heavens and the earth? Do you know the scripture in Genesis where it talks about, it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over? He was hovering. The power of the Holy Ghost was hovering over, waiting on something. What was it waiting on? Waiting on God to open his mouth and say something. I think it's verse 3 or 4. It says, and God said, let there be light. And that same power that was in God has been given to us. The same keys, the same power, the same authority. Jesus gave us that same authority for us to speak. And you might be saying, well, that's just a name it, claim it. That's just, you know, the word of faith thing. I'm just going to tell you, I'd rather be on this side than on that side. Hoping and wishing and praying all the time and not having any strength or any power or any authority. I can't live like that. I have a friend that I went to school with, Bible school, learned the same stuff I did and came against me about this and said, it's just the sovereignty of God. You can't name it. You can't claim it. You can't this. You can't that. And I went through a long deal with her, and I finally just said, I love you. I'm not going to banter with you over this because I know what I believe. And obviously you believe something different. But you know what? I got to thinking how hopeless it would be to live like that. Now, let me just tell you something. Through what we've gone through and what I've gone through personally with my own loss and with my father, questions arise. Questions come to cause you to shake you in your faith. Questions come, and that's exactly what Eve did. The question came, did God really say that? Is that what God really said? Was that what God really meant? It is not my job to question God because I do not know everything. I do not know the ifs, ands, the buts, the whys. I do not know, and I don't need to know. I do know that my mother-in-law lived a full life. I do know that she overcame a lot of things. And I do know she talked about heaven quite frequently, and I do believe she was ready to move on. And that's where my faith lies. And I'm not going anywhere else with it. Amen? And that will keep a guard around my faith and what I believe, because when I'm confronted with somebody else who might have something in their body that they need healing, if I'm questioning it and I go to pray for somebody, the devil's gonna say, well, what about that person that didn't receive? And what about that? And it'll shake your faith. It'll chip away at your faith walls if you allow it to. And you can't go there. You can't go there. You have to build your faith with the word of God. Build your faith and starve your doubts to death. Amen? You know, Brother Summerall used to say, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. How do you feed your faith? Faith comes by hearing, not the only way, but it does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe faith also comes through worship. There's a lot of things that cause me to have faith in God. When I hear people give their testimonies, that's faith that rises up in me. Did I skip Jonah? I did. Jonah, he got out of the storm with his words. Jonah 2, 7 through 10. That whole chapter there is really his prayer, but because of time, I didn't want to go into it. But I just want to show you this. He says, when my soul, this is when he's in the middle, this is when he's in a whale. Now, I had fish around my legs, and I was jumping out because they freaked me out. And, you know, to see a whale, but to be in a whale, that would be another whole story. But in the middle of this whale, he just decides to, you know, cry out to God. And he says, when my soul fainted upon me, crushing me, I earnestly and seriously remembered the Lord. I guess you'd remember the Lord if you're in the belly of a whale. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own. They forsake the source of mercy and loving kindness. But as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. The voice of thanksgiving. That means he said something. There was a voice behind his thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation and deliverance belong to the Lord. He was declaring something about his God in the middle of his storm. He was saying how good God is and how faithful he is. And God, the Lord, spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. So there was a response to his faith. There's power that's resonating on the inside of us that's just waiting for us to open our mouths and say something. And the moment we say something, that power is released. And because of the grace of God, it's been given to us. But because of the faith of God, it's released from us. Amen? So there's got to be an ability to release what's on the inside, and it has to come through your mouth. Now, some of us may have a problem with talking because maybe we just don't like to talk a whole lot. Braden, on the other hand, he talks incessantly. On the way here, I said, could you just be quiet just for a little bit because I'm meditating on what I'm going to speak on. Okay. A few minutes later, he starts talking. Braden, remember? So your words that you speak matter. They matter. Amen? Amen. So your confession led you to what? Romans 10:9. It led me to salvation. So when I confessed, there was a release of the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't just become whole. I became brand new. That was the greatest miracle there ever is. There is a total renewal of my spirit. I became a pneuma man, a speaking spirit, a brand new man. Not just whole, not just healed, not just a healing that took place, but a whole new man came forth. By what? By my confession of faith. It led me to salvation. What is it in salvation that you need? Salvation isn't just saved from hell. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is healing. Salvation is prosperity or provision. Salvation is deliverance from anxiety and fears and despairs. What is it in salvation that you need tonight? Because you definitely don't need salvation from hell right now. You already have that, right? But what is it that you're going through? Maybe you're going through some kind of despairing situation. So your salvation released through your confession enables your fill in the blank. You get what I'm saying? But there has to be an opening of the mouth and a releasing of the power that's resonating on the inside to allow that power to go forth. And your faith hooked up with that power brings into manifestation what it is that you're believing God for. We're not moved by what we see, what we feel, what we hear. We're only moved by what the Word of God says. The just live by. We don't live by hope. I'm just a hoping and a praying. No. You might as well sit down. I live by faith. The faith of God who loved me and gave his son for me. Amen. So Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So where's my statement here? Where's it at? Oh, so this came to me today when I was studying. My mouth is the highway to access through faith what's been made available by grace. My mouth is the highway. So how do I get from here to Dallas? I take a highway, right? I'm planning on going there, but I can't just wish it. I can't just think it. I got to get on the highway and get there. I've got to do something about it, right? The same goes. Salvation has provided things for us, but through the confession of my faith, my opening of my mouth is the highway that takes me from sickness and disease to wholeness and healing. My mouth opens up and it takes me from a place of lack, need, despairing to overwhelming, abundant supply above and beyond what I could ask or think. You see what I'm saying? Because there's power. It's not just a magical thing because you've opened your mouth. There is power in the Word of God. There is power. The Word of God is living and breathing. It's a creative force, and it is in your mouth, and you release it. And when you release it, that power goes forth to bring those things in that you need to see in your life. The things that need to be manifested in your life are released. And the reason why we're not seeing some things is because we're not saying some things. We want the will of God in our life, but the will of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God has to be in our mouth. It has to be on our lips. Amen? Yeah. So we are speaking spirits. God, when he created the world, he conceived it, he believed it, and he released it. So that's what we do. And you got to get in prayer to find out what those things are. That's what I was talking about Sunday. I had to see myself when I was dealing with that storm of being on the plane, and it was all crazy, and I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, I had to speak to the storm, and the Holy Spirit said, the storm's on the inside of you. It's not on the outside. And all of a sudden, I felt that supernatural peace. So I saw myself. I perceived it. I conceived it in my spirit, getting off the plane and doing what I needed to do thereafter. And so the Holy Spirit gave me peace with that. There was a perception on conception on the inside of me. I believed it, and I received it, and I released it. Amen? And so that's what you need to do. Whatever it is that you're believing God, you know, like Kat, she's just started a new business. We're not a hoping and a praying that it's going to be a success, right? We know that it's going to be a success. Amen? You prayed about it, and you asked the Holy Spirit to give you a perception in the spirit, or to conceive what his heart is for the purpose that he has for this ministry. It's a ministry. It's not just a business. And the word says, what does the word say? Everything you set your hand to is prosperous and blessed. The favor of God is all over you. Favor with God and man. High esteem. Favor, that's what favor means. I have high esteem with God and with man. So you get those scriptures out and you start declaring those things. And then you start asking the Holy Spirit, show me the things that are to come. Because Isaiah says he'll show us things to come. So you start perceiving or conceiving. It's like conceiving a baby. And those things start to grow. And you believe it and you release it. The reason why we're not seeing some things in our life is because we're just being lazy about it. We've got to get it in prayer, have that perception come within our spirits. And I'm not just talking about weirdness. Please, I'm not talking weirdness. I'm talking utilize the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's your helper. He's your strengthener. He's your standby. He's your advocate. Amen? He's supposed to lead and guide us into truth and out of lies. And so what is it that you have for my life in the future, God? I'm not just waiting around. I'm not just, you know, and there is sometimes a waiting place. But get in the spirit with it. And if he says this is a season of waiting, then you have a place where you can peacefully wait. But maybe there's something he wants you to do in the spirit. Maybe he says, I want you to pray over that 30 minutes a day. I want you to confess these scriptures over that every day for 30 days. I don't know. And I'm not saying get into works over things, but if we're not doing anything, then we're not doing the word. You know, we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And if faith without works is dead, so if we're not doing something about what we're believing, then we're just not going to see anything manifest. So hook your mouth up to what your heart is directing you towards, and you will see the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen? And I believe that God wants to show himself strong on our behalf in this church. You know, I feel like this last couple of weeks has been a little weird because we've been in and out, and it's like, man, I don't like how I feel right now. I'm not led by how I feel, but something's weird right now. So I've been praying over our people, praying over John and Debbie, you know, praying over different ones. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on right now? And I felt like the Lord said we need to watch our words, and we need to get in the spirit. We need to get in the word of God like never before. Because when we're feeding our faith with the word of God, then we're starving the doubts and we're releasing the stuff that the world is trying to bring upon us. Because when we're so full of something else, then the world, whatever it brings to us, it can't fill us up because we're too filled up with what the Holy Ghost has to give us. Amen? Amen. All right, are you guys good? So when you act in faith, the power will manifest. And really, your confession, by you saying something, that's where power manifests, is by saying something. Quit believing the lies of the enemy. Amen? We have to renew our mind to the truth. And I like this phrase that Pastor Steve said a long time ago. He said, if you're not being transformed by the word, you're being conformed to the world. If you're not being transformed by the word, you're being conformed to the world. Do we really, really, really think about that? Because every day we need to be transformed by the word. Every day we're not being transformed by the word is an opportunity for us to be conformed by the world. Because the devil's active. He's not waiting. He's going to be watching and waiting for when we're being inactive. So he can hop on and get at your heart, get at your mind, get at your body, whatever it is. And when we're tired, worn out, burn out, offended, upset, that's when he jumps in. See, I told you, you know, those lies come in on those times. And so we have to stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. So you have to open your mouth and say something about your situation. All right, this phrase came to me, and I apologize up front, and I don't want you to get offended at me. But out of your mouth, confession is made unto salvation, or it's made unto damnation. And so it's really important that it's being made unto salvation. Salvation meaning healing, provision, whatever it is you need, joy. Do you know that your words can direct your life from the very get-go? When you get up, it can make you happy or it can make you sad. Do you know your words can change your whole life? What we use our words to get into marriage, we have to say what? I do. We say vows, we say I do. When you go on a plane and you sit in the exit aisle, they tell you all that stuff you have to do, and you're trying to remember everything. You have to pull this handle, you have to do that. And you shake your head and they say, no, you have to say, I will. You verbally say, I will do that. So you say something about what you're getting ready to do. Do you know that when you're in a situation, when someone has offended you, you can choose to talk about it and be upset about it, and all this poison will come out and confirm what the enemy is trying to do in your life with strife? And every evil work abounds when there's strife. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil. So we got to shut those doors and not allow that strife in our life. Amen? But it's with words. Do we realize how powerful our words are? They can go the other way. We can produce joy. We can produce encouragement. We can produce love. We can agree to have a job. It can take us in a job or it can take us out of a job, our words. Amen? Our words can build up our family. It can build up our children, or it can tear down. It can cause people to want to be around you because you're so much fun, because you say some wonderful things, or it can cause people to not want to be around you because you're despairing for life, you're negative, there's too much despairing and too much anxiety and fear that's being expressed. And it's either life-giving or it's death. So our words are so important. And again, we've got to have a habit of doing something with our words or it will take over automatically. Whatever you are giving into, whether it be the positive or negative, that is what's going to take over. Amen? All right. So through faith and patience, you inherit or possess the promise. There's a lot of things that we're all probably believing God for in our lives. And it's through faith, speaking the word, but then there's patience involved too. We've got to stay in that place of expectancy, believing that God is getting ready he's moving on our behalf in the spirit realm. We may not be able to see, feel, or hear it, but we know he's doing something. Because he's an active God. He's creative. He's always moving. He's always doing something. And so when our words are going forth positive, there's some creative forces taking place. God's moving. And then all of a sudden you retract your steps and say, I just feel sick. I think I've lost my healing. Or you call it yours. I want to just encourage you. It is not your diabetes. It is not your cancer. It is not your asthma. It is not your back problem. It is not your whatever problem. It is not your sickness. It is not because of your COVID shot. It is not because of nothing will trump the power of God and the name of Jesus. Amen. Nothing trumps the power of God and the name of Jesus. I don't care what your history consists of, what you've been involved in, what's in your past, what you've done right, what you've done wrong. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Hallelujah. Amen. And so repent now of anything we've done in the past, any words we've said wrong in the past. In the name of Jesus, we repent and we turn from our ways. We go back to the top. That's what repent means. We go back to the penthouse. Amen. Going back to the top, and we say, Father, help us. Put a guard on our lips. Help us.